Thank you very much. I'd like to tell you about the soil water balance model, or SWB, that we've been developing and using in South Africa over the last several years. Co-authors, Martin Steyn, my colleague from University of Pretoria, is sitting here in the audience. Nebo Jovanovic did a lot of the model parameterization for us, and Nico Bernardi is the programmer. Now, the reason for wanting to share these experiences with you was prompted by the launch of Aquacrop at these meetings, because we feel there's many similarities between the two models, and we can certainly learn from each other's experiences. Just a brief history of the SWB model. Back in 1993, Galen Campbell, who was at that stage at Washington State University, came to visit us in South Africa. He presented a modeling workshop that was sponsored by the Water Research Commission. And he brought along a simple, generic, mechanistic crop model that he called New SWB. Now, this model produces dry matter, which is limited by radiation or water supply. The development is regulated by thermal time, which helped us with assimilate partitioning to give us a realistic canopy and root system that we could make sensitive to water stress. And at the heart of this model is a clever water uptake and a supply and demand limited water uptake routine. Here we can see transpiration rate plotted against water potential, and this blue line is the plant limited water loss line, and then this linear portion is used to estimate maximum uptake rates. So that way we'll be able to determine on a daily time step whether water uptake is supply or demand limited. Now, at the time that Galen presented that workshop, we were busy doing work on water requirements of vegetable crops in the Loskop Irrigation District. So we were curious just to see if we could parameterize this model for our own data. We even had a lysimeter study going, so we could even look at some of the theory that he had presented us, and we were pretty impressed by how these things all came out. So just for that particular experiment with peas, we had a well-watered control. We can see here this top left-hand graph is fractional interception. The lines are the simulations and the symbols are the data points. Here we've got leaf area index. It went up as high as 8 for our well water treatment, and the model seemed to be able to pick that up. This is top dry matter and harvestable dry matter, and the deficit on the lower right-hand screen. For our treatment that was well watered at first and then stressed, we can see here leaf area index has now dropped down to 6, and the model was able to pick that up quite nicely. We were pretty happy with this deficit simulation as well. For the treatment that was stressed for the whole season, leaf area index only went up to 4, and the model was able to pick that up, and we were pretty happy again with the deficit deficit to field capacity simulation. So from this we decided that, taking into account that the soil plant atmosphere continuum is a complex and dynamic system, the processes seem to be pretty well understood and described, because we thought the simulations that we were getting there were sufficiently accurate for irrigation scheduling purposes. All we were really after was a realistic canopy and root system, and we found the model reasonably easy to parameterize as well. And I think the next point is the big difference between what we were trying to do here and Aquacrop. For us, we weren't that concerned about accurate yield estimates. It was a bit of a bonus if that came out right. But with Aquacrop, obviously, that's very important when you're looking at water productivity. So we were pretty excited. We thought, well, maybe if we can hide the complexities of a dynamic soil water balance behind a user-friendly interface, we would be able to make accurate estimates of water use possible on farm. Computers, this was mid-90s, more and more farmers had computers. It was easier to get automatic weather station data, and we really thought, well, perhaps it's just not necessary to simplify at all cost. In fact, we even argued that perhaps complex is simpler. If we have a more mechanistic approach, it's far more transferable and more flexible than empirical approaches. For example, the fact that we're using thermal time, that helps you sort out differences in planting dates or regions. Things like different irrigation frequencies or partial wetting of the soil surface that affects the amount of water that's evaporated gets taken into account automatically with more mechanistic models. The fact that the canopy would shrink if there was some water stress. These were all useful, and we thought it would actually make our lives a lot easier than a more empirical demand-limited crop factor approach. So we decided the way forward with this model would, if we wanted it to be used for irrigation scheduling, is we'd have to get more crops into it. We'd need to work on user friendliness, and once we developed it, we'd obviously need to let people know about it and teach them to use it. Now, we approached other research groups in South Africa for data, but we weren't that successful. It was really difficult to get good data sets, complete data sets from other groups. So in the end, most of what we have in the model we developed ourselves. Nebo Jovanovic did quite a lot of work on winter and summer vegetables. Martin Steyn's done quite a lot of work on a lot of the field crops. We've got a pasture irrigation project running at the moment. Now, tree crops was an interesting one. We didn't think we would have any luck trying to simulate with a generic crop model tree growth. So we opted for a simpler FAO crop factor approach. And again, this is very, very similar to what's happening with the aqua crop development. There's a different approach for trees and the rest of the crops. User friendliness, Nico Bernardi, we think, did a really good job at on the programming side. Lots of user-friendly input and output screens, database-based program. We distinguish between three levels of users: irrigators, consultants, researchers, and a lot of the detail we hid for the irrigator level so that we wouldn't hopefully confuse the users. But after a while, we were a bit disappointed because this masterpiece we had created just wasn't being used nearly as much as we had hoped. And we had to start asking ourselves some really difficult questions. You know, was it actually as user-friendly as we would like to believe? Did it actually address the needs of irrigators? The funders started saying to us, well, hey, you know, what about the resource-poor farmers? How are you going to help them? And they wanted us to broaden the base of users through technology transfer actions. The way we tackled this was to start off with a workshop where we spoke to people that were using the model, try to identify shortcomings, and we modified the model then first before presenting some training courses. And these we divided into commercial irrigation farmer courses and consultant courses. And our strategy was to work through consultants because we didn't think it's feasible for us to be sitting in Pretoria in our ivory tower there and try and service clients countrywide. So the whole idea with the courses was a consultant, we just wanted to have him or her be able to set up simulations for irrigators and to help the person be able to run simulations for all their clients. And for the irrigators, we wanted the consultant to actually facilitate the course, get the people together in the first place. And what we wanted to teach them there was to be able to run simulations that had already been set up for them. Now, the feedback we got from consultants' courses, they seemed to enjoy the training. Most of them found the model easy enough to use. Some said it's probably a little bit too complicated for farmers, but they didn't seem to be too worried about needing a lot of support from us. The problem we picked up then was that there was not enough interest in arranging farmers' courses, which we were hoping the consultants would do, because they're on the ground and they know the irrigators that would need tools like this. And we realized at that stage that part of the problem was that many of the people that we'd had in our courses were not really irrigation consultants per se. They were more people working for seed companies or fertilizer companies, and they were never ever likely to use a scheduling model or any other tool to help farmers schedule. Of the few that were actually irrigation consultants, some of them already had a system that they felt worked for them. They weren't too keen to change to something new that may or may not be better than what they already had. And some even felt a little bit intimidated that perhaps, you know, if this system did work well for their farmers, they might not need their services. We did have a few commercial farmer courses, and they also seemed to enjoy the training. But we seem to have, well, we've come to the conclusion we'll need to further simplify things before we really can expect farmers to be using it on any scale. We have been working on a simpler calendar approach, and we're expecting that to be a lot more successful. Now, what does one do for resource-poor farmers? The way we had developed SWB, it was just useless for people like that. I mean, you need access to computers, you need access to real-time weather station data. Even if they had that, you need a certain level of skill to be able to run simulations, and that's just unrealistic for that group of farmers. And that's the other reason why we've been putting quite a lot more effort into the irrigation calendars, but really making them site-specific. So using the SWB model to generate these. But even a calendar is pretty useless to somebody who's illiterate, or many of these farmers are flood irrigating. They've got no idea how much water they're applying. And for that reason, we've been working closely with Richard Sturzaker from CSIRO with his wedding front detector, because it's a cheap and simple device, and even illiterate farmers are able to see what's going on. It just gives you an idea of how deep a wedding front moved in the soil. And we found this a pretty useful approach. Well, after all of this effort, is SWB now used on a significant scale for scheduling? Unfortunately not for real-time scheduling. There's three consultants that used it quite a bit, but when you really sit down with them and spend time with them, you realize that they're actually using some of the little peripheral tools that we added on as sort of nice-to-haves, neutron probe schedulers, things like that, and what we actually wanted them to use, the growth model, they're not using. There was one progressive farmer who was drip irrigating his potatoes. He was using it. I've just heard recently that he might have gone out of business. I hope it's not because he was using our model. We're thinking the calendar approach is going to probably be a more successful way to go. We've used this model extensively in many of our research projects, and I'm just going to quickly take you through one or two of them. The one was irrigation with neutralized acid mine drainage. You can see in the background there's a drag line system removing the overburden so that we can get to so the miners can get down to the coal seam. And then this is a pivot irrigated wheat field irrigated with mine water. We were interested in the long-term sustainability of this practice, so we included a long-term weather generator in the model, and we added a chemical equilibrium routine because we wanted to estimate gypsum precipitation, salt balances, which we were able to do with this model. The output from SWB we then put into groundwater models. These circles are proposed pivot sites on a mine, and the ISO lines are salt plumes to estimate the off-site effects of this practice. We've done quite a bit of work with tree crop water balances, looking at two-dimensional radiation interception and water movement. Clearly a hedgerow system is not a one-dimensional system, affected by canopy dimensions and row orientation. So we've been measuring solar radiation interception at the surface. We developed a model to simulate that. We're busy expanding this model with one of our PhD students to agroforestry systems. He's interested in looking at what happens with a crop in between the tree rows. Just some output, 4 days of simulating radiation interception at different positions from the tree row. We added a two-dimensional finite difference routine to move the water around, because with a micro-irrigation we're not wetting the whole surface. And we're currently incorporating nitrogen and phosphorus routines into SWB because we have students that are interested in using biosolid waste products from industry. Our petroleum from coal industry produces a biosolid and municipal biosolids, to use these as nutrient sources. And there's several others that I don't have time to talk about. We've used the model as well with our teaching. At the undergraduate level, we've used it in the irrigation management course and in the crop physiology course. And our postgraduate students, probably just about all of our master's and PhD students in our little irrigation group, parameterize the model for the specific crop that they're working with. And the ones that learn the most are the ones that end up trying to modify it and add routines or change routines. So to conclude, we have never been sorry that we developed the model. It's been very, very useful for the research we've been doing. It's been a wonderful teaching tool. But we were actually trying to develop it for irrigation scheduling, and this has been a bit disappointing. There's been poor adoption for real-time scheduling, and we're kind of wrestling with this at the moment. Should we just try harder, or must we actually accept that this is probably just not the right tool for the job? We're pretty keen on the calendar, and we're going to put a bit more effort into that. Just to say a few last words about aquacrop, I think technically this is a more ambitious project than what we were doing for irrigation scheduling purposes with SWB, because the yield estimates are obviously going to be much more important for them than they are for us. Although our yield estimates can be pretty good if you put a bit more effort into trying to get it to come out well, it's been surprisingly accurate for many crops. We think their model, the aquacrop model, should be used much more widely than SWB, and I think that's because they're looking at perhaps a more realistic target market than we were. They've got a strong international team, with the dedicated leadership of Pasquale Estidito. They've got access to good quality data, and we're expecting that simple model to work probably better with some crops than with others. But whatever the outcome, I think a lot of valuable data will be collated, which makes it a very worthwhile exercise that I think we should all encourage and support. Thank you.